victory side. We give you praise and glory, and we thank you for the word of God that makes us free. We worship you. We honor you, Lord. We thank you for the Spirit of God being manifest in this place this week. And we give you all the praise for all the good that happens here, Lord. You're good to us all the time, and we give you praise for it. Give us utterance today, Lord, and give us hearing. We want to do the best job we can do, Lord, at walking with you in this earth. We want to walk in obedience to you. We want to fulfill all of our calling. We want to accomplish and run the race that you set before us. And we thank you, Lord, that your Spirit will enable us to do that. We depend upon your Spirit. We listen to your word. We make changes. We're pliable, Lord, before you. We just want to please you. And we know even the more we do that, the more we please ourselves, because the more we walk with you accurately, the more wonderful our lives are. And we'll have days of heaven on the earth, Lord, even before you come. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. You may be seated. I can tell y'all are turned on today. Praise God. Hallelujah. You guys listening on the internet, you could just get on the plane, get in your car, do something, and come to this meeting. It's only Tuesday. Isn't that right? Yeah. Do you recommend they ought to come? Yes. Hallelujah. But we are glad you're listening. And we just want you to jump in with us, but we'd love for you to come. We still have some seats open that you could fill if you would just rush on out here in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're talking about walking in holiness, the final frontier, perfecting holiness. Really just what that is just walking in God's ways. You know, God gives us ways, and his ways are victory. The victory that we're enjoying in our lives today are because of the changes we've made in the past to agree with what God says and do it. However much victory we have today is because we've already made changes. You cannot overcome the world and be one with it. If you're going to be one with the world, you're going to suffer the death and all the problems and curse that's out there. So we are one with God, hallelujah. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. I'm just warming up for tomorrow and Thursday. I'm building up for that. And I just told my pastor friend what I was going to talk on. He said, you know, that's what the Lord's been having me do. It is not. I would not be the person I would choose for that job. I'll just tell you that right now. But anyway, whatever God says we need, don't we? You know, a lot of these things maybe that we're talking about, holiness and walking in obedience to God and living right and sexual purity instead of immorality and so on, perhaps you don't need it, but you may have teenagers, you may have children, you may have people in your church. It seems to me like sexual sins are at an epidemic proportion in the church in these days. And you know what? I am not going to preach on this today. I am not going to do it. But in studying for the last few days, preparing for what all the Lord wants me to do here, I have been shocked at the scriptures that are in the New Testament concerning these things. I guess I just haven't been interested in fornication. Because I haven't been... I can't believe all of this teaching is in the New Testament about sexual purity and sexual immorality. And you know, they're not my favorite scriptures. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I just haven't paid any attention to them much. I mean, I walk by them. I don't mean that. I mean, I obey them. But, you know, I don't just meditate on them and think about them, because I believe you should live right and holy before the Lord. You've got to do what God says. And you've got to turn your life in that direction if you want things to go well with you. There's a lot of things God tells us to do in life that are not necessarily immoral, but if God tells us to do them and we don't do them, we're in disobedience. And so we have to learn to gear our lives according to what He says and not according to what we want, what's comfortable to us. We have to make changes when we hear in the Word of God or see something that we're doing. Maybe it's something we don't want to quit doing. Maybe it's something, you know, we like or enjoy or whatever. But if God begins to correct us, even in things that aren't immoral, if He begins to tell us, this is getting too big a place in your life. You're spending too much time on this situation, even though it's not a sin. It is wrong for you to take time that you ought to be spending with the Lord and spend over there. So what do? Well, we have to make changes. We have to adjust if we want to walk in victory. Now, however much in our lives we've made those adjustments in times past, that's how much victory we're walking in today. That's how much joy we're walking in today, because God's way works. And He never tells us not to do something because He doesn't want us to have any fun. He wants us to enjoy life. He teaches us that we should enjoy life. Jesus, the scripture said in the Amplified, John 10:10, Jesus came that we might have and enjoy life. But what the world says is fun kills you. So you got to go by what God says. God wants you to have life. He wants you to have peace. He doesn't want you all strung out on drugs where it ruins your life, ruins your family. He doesn't want you in sexual immorality because that brings death. And you know this, I want to say this too, because it's difficult to speak on things and people that are, you know, maybe not getting condemnation about it. When I talk about those things this week and different things, if you've been in that, maybe you committed adultery in the past but you've repented of it, you've gotten it straight, that does not apply to you anymore. What applies to you now is the blood of Jesus that's cleansed you from that sin. And so, you know, I'd rather not really deal with these things, but I have to be obedient to what the Lord says. So, today we're going to talk some more about holiness, but, you know, I don't know what's going to come out, to tell you the truth. Look at Ephesians 5. I love the Word of God, and I'll tell you, I'm not scared of the Word of God. I've walked this way for a long time, and I know whatever I see and hear, even if it's uncomfortable for me, even if it's something that I don't want to do or change, I know that whatever God tells me to do is for my good. This truth is written to us to make us free. In Ephesians 5, in the Amplified Bible, it says, "Husbands, love your wives," verse 25, "as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, so that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water by the Word, that He might present the church to Himself in glorious splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and faultless." Glory to God. A church without spot or wrinkle, the glorious church. And we get that way by the washing of the water by the Word. The more we're washed with the water of the Word, the more truth comes into our heart and the more faith comes into our heart to change things in our lives that are not right with God, that are not straight before God, that are not pleasing to God. And the more we are presented to the Lord without blame and holy. Now, the scripture teaches us that we are made holy. We'll probably talk about that tomorrow. We are made holy, Hebrews says. We've been made holy. We've been washed with the blood of the Lamb. It's not what we've done, it's what Jesus did for us. And as long as we accept that holiness and walk in the light that He is revealing to us and go after more light, we stand before the Lord holy and blameless. We've been made righteous. We have been given the robe of righteousness. Now we have to maintain our robes. We have to walk in the light that He's given us. So, the church is glorious without spot or wrinkle before Him. When He comes, He's going to find a church that looks like that. Maybe not everybody in the church will be like that. I've heard, and I have to get the details before I see where, but that in recent days, the prophets have said that not everybody's ready. The Lord told them, not everybody's ready. Well, I'm telling you, it's up to you and me to see that we're ready. We can't make everybody ready, but we can make ourselves ready. And then when that, I told you yesterday, when that man went to hell, went to heaven that was raised from the dead, the angel said, the mansions are ready, but the saints are not. You know, we can't tolerate, we cannot tolerate sin in our midst. What should we do when sin comes up in our midst? It has to be corrected. It cannot be ignored. It has to be corrected. People have to know what to do next. We're going to cover some of that later on in this study. Now look at 2 Corinthians 6. About holiness. It's so important. Victory, your victory is tied up in your obedience. Hallelujah. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. Verse 14 says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, and do not make mismated alliances with them or come under a different yoke with them, inconsistent with your faith. For what partnership have right living and right standing with God with iniquity and lawlessness? Or how can light have fellowship with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and Belial?" The devil, the Amplified says. "Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever?" You know, you can't hang out with the world and expect to come out clean. You can't go down there and wallow with the hogs and expect to not get mud on you. It just won't work. That's what he's saying. "What agreement can there be between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of God, even as God said, 'I will dwell in and with and among them, and will walk in and with and among them.'" This is what God wants to do. "I will dwell in them and with them and among them. And I will walk in and with and among them. And I will be their God." Now, isn't that far better than hanging out in some joint? In the dark? Those places, you know they're dirty. That's why they have it so dark in there. "And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." I want to hang out with Him. I want to hang out with God. Glory to God. I don't want to hang out with the world. I have no desire for the darkness of this world. I want more of God. I want to see more of God. I want more of the manifestation of God. I want to see more of the supernatural. Glory to God. I expect to see and know supernaturally. I expect to live in the supernatural. I am not a natural person anymore. I live in a natural body. But I'm a born again, from above, supernatural being, created in the image and likeness of God, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. What could the darkness hold for me? Not one thing. And it holds nothing for you either. I'd much rather walk with God in me, among me, around me, manifested. So come out. Here's what you do. This is, God says, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So come out from among the unbelievers and sever yourselves from them, says the Lord. Touch not any unclean thing. Then I will receive you kindly and treat you with favor. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. What a way to live. What a position to be in. There's nothing in the earth that could beat that. And besides that, as we talked about earlier this week, this is a temporary situation right here. We're just in this earth for a short time, if you live to be 100, people would think you lived a long life. That is nothing. 100 years in eternity is nothing. Nothing. I mean, there's only been 6,000 years since the Garden of Eden. That's not a very long time in the light of thinking about eternity. And we're living and working for God right here in a way that we'll never just be able to do it the same way again. It won't be just quite like this. Because once we go up and we pass over, we have a choice between good and good. Here we've got a choice. Under pressure, we can serve God. When we're being pressured in the wrong direction, we can serve God. We can give Him glory in a way now that we'll never have that opportunity again because of the pressure. I remember Billy Brim said one time that the test you thought you failed, you didn't. The Lord said you didn't fail because you didn't see the forces that were arrayed against you. There are forces arrayed against us now in this life. Pressure, devil, evil spirits. The devil trying to come in and force his way into our lives, trying to mess us up in one way or the other. Pressure. That's why we have to fight the good fight of faith. Glory to God. I'm stirred up today. I'm on the victory side today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're to sever ourselves from the ungodly things and ways and walk with God, sell out to God, spend time with God, do what we're doing together. Who ever heard of a believers' convention before about 25 years ago? Nobody. Who would have thought believers would want to take their vacation and come believe? Nobody. Glory to God. But God thought they would. Hallelujah. It's been great too. And how many of you have been to at least 10 believers' conventions? How many of you have been to 20? Some. I've forgotten how many this is. Actually, it's about 22, isn't it? Anyway, I've been to all of them. I'm a believer. Chapter 7, 1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Who has to cleanse ourselves? We cleanse ourselves. That's our responsibility. God's not like the devil. He won't force his way on you. He'll tell you what's right, and then you have to choose to do it. We see that in the old covenant. It's still the same in the new. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness. Holiness is to be separated to God. It is the word holy means to cut out from all the rest. When you were born again, you were cut out of the darkness. Glory to God. You were lifted out of that darkness, and Colossians says you were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. You were taken out. You were lifted out. You were separated. You were severed. Now, people can be back. They can go back in that darkness if they want to. There's no devil in hell that can make them. You know, the devil can't make you do anything. He's got to get your agreement. And you know, God won't make you do anything. He's got to get your agreement. You're the one in the middle. You have to choose. And this just says that we cleanse ourselves from flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness, bringing holiness to maturity, to the full depth of holiness, separated unto God in the fear of God. And that's important. That's the only reason anybody ever separates themselves from this world and becomes and walks in their everyday life in a holy manner, because they honor God in their lives. They honor God. We honor God. We honor God enough to spend time in the Word, seeing what He has to tell us to do. I'm not afraid of that. I want more. I want all of the revelation of God I can get. I'm certainly not afraid that I'll look in that book and I'll see something I want to do. I'll look in this book for what to do. I want to walk. I want to walk with God in a straight path. I don't want to walk a crooked and perverse path. I want to know what He wants. Now, I've done it long enough, and I don't have any, you know, I know now. maybe back there years ago, I thought some things the Lord told us to do would take us under. But I found out that everything God tells me to do brings victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our believing God. What we believe about God, what we believe that He says, that's what brings us victory in this life.
Vielen Dank, liebe Partner und Freunde, dass Sie die Ausstrahlung dieser Sendung in Ihrem Land ermöglichten. Wenn Sie mehr über Kenneth Copeland Ministries erfahren wollen, Gebetsanliegen oder Ihr Zeugnis weitergeben und glaubensstärkende Produkte finden möchten, besuchen Sie kcm-de.org oder wählen Sie 07621 422 2861. Denken Sie bis zum nächsten Mal daran, Gott liebt Sie und Jesus ist Herr.